This is the fourth in a series of discussions about men and women in American society. And today we're focusing on the topic, can we be friends? There are two aspects of this topic that I hope we get around to talking about. One is, are there differences in the ways in which women form friendships with one another and men form friendships with one another? And secondly, is it possible for men and women to be friends together? There's some debate about that. I've been interested in this topic for a little while, growing out of some experiences that I've had in my own life. For one thing, I am, as far as we know, the only woman who is an official scorekeeper for Division I basketball team in the United States. There might be some others, but if there are, we don't know about them. And so there's been some publicity about me in newspapers in Indiana. And the one article that appeared told a little bit about some of the other things that I do in my life, in teaching and in being executive director for women's organization and so on. And a woman who writes for another newspaper read that story and has used me as a sort of a contact person when there are things that come up about women and she needs to talk about them with somebody. So I'm a resource person for her. And then she had a series in her paper for which she interviewed me, which dealt with the topic of friendship among women. And then, now, the first newspaper was the Gary newspaper. This one was the Michigan City newspaper, so it's going across the state. A woman who works for a TV station in South Bend read that story about friendship among women and called me and interviewed me for a TV series she was doing. So I really had to think quite seriously about the issue of friendship among women in a way that I hadn't before. At the same time, being involved in the basketball team, I found myself on the edges of what is really totally a man's world. I've been the scorekeeper for 2 years now, and I have gone to some of the away trips that the team has taken, partly because there are chapters of my organization in the cities that the team was traveling to, so I could travel down with them, do my business while the team's practicing, then go to the games. And, you know, it just worked out very nicely for me to be able to do two things at once that way. So I have been able to observe not only the way the young guys relate to one another and the kind of closeness that develops in a sports team like that, where they're so intense about this job that they have to do, which kind of sets them apart from many other students and bonds them together. And when you're traveling for 6 hours in a bus, you know, you really can see the relationships that are developing among them, the kinds of things they talk about with one another and so on, in a way that I've never really had a chance to observe before. My own son is a bit younger, and a lot of his friendships take place outside of the home and so on. But this was kind of a workshop for me. And I also could watch how the coaches and the trainer and the other men that are involved relate not only to the young guys but also among themselves, and they began to let me become a part of that world a little bit too. So I've had then the chance to observe in a way that I never had before how friendships among men are developing, and also thinking about friendships among women. And then besides that, I've had a couple of close friendships with some students, and that brought in another dimension, the differences in friendships among people who are quite apart from one another in age. So all of this together has made me do some thinking. And last year a book was published on this topic, which I have used as a resource in thinking through some of these issues. It's called Just Friends, The Role of Friendship in Our Lives by a woman named Lillian Rubin. This book is available in all the chain bookstores that you could ever think of. It's written in a very casual kind of style, not an academic style at all. And I found it to be very interesting. So, okay, that's why I'm interested in this topic. I want to share just a few of the kinds of things that this author talks about in setting the stage. And then we can go off in discussion in either direction, either talking about the differences between male-female friendships or the difficulties of joining them together, whichever seems most, you know, that you would prefer to talk about. For one thing, friendship, Rubin says, in our society is a private thing. In comparing friendship and kinship, the whole world of people we're related to, we can see that in kinship there are many rituals involved and public ceremonies that help define who our relatives are. There are shared roles that we have with one another. We have a pretty clear idea, although it might change from one family to another, but we kind of know the roles that grandparents play with the grandchildren, aunts and uncles and so on, and even more clearly, father, mother, child, brother, sister, and so on. It's all more or less established in our minds, but friendship is not like that. There aren't any ways to mark when friendship starts or when it ends. It starts and it ends, but we don't make a big thing about it. Kinship ends, well, it begins with birth, and usually it ends with death. And there are ceremonies that cover both of those major happenings, but not so with friendships. Being without friends, however, in our society is a mark of a person not being really socially adept. There's something sad or even shameful about a person who can't make friends. So it's kind of expected that we are going to develop friends, and children suffer enormously if they happen to be the ones that are left out of peer groups and friendships. And so it's the sort of thing which is expected of all of us in our society. But there's no guidance that's given to how do you go about making a friend. It's sort of assumed that we're going to do it. And those of us who have more or less trouble developing friendships really suffer for that. It also depends very much on circumstances. As you may very well know from your own experience, if you move from one place to another, you might leave behind friends who still are your friends, but the fact that you've got those friends back there does not help you to get involved in a new friendship group where you are. You have to work at that. And sometimes the friends that we have in one situation do not remain with us in another. As we grow and change and our circumstances change, sometimes we outgrow friendship, and that causes difficulties and problems with us. So we think that developing friendships should be natural, but it isn't. And yet we don't know how to deal with that, or we don't have social ways to develop that. But one of the important things about friendship is that it helps us to develop our common feeling of humanity in a way that family doesn't quite do. My son, who is 16 right now, has a little saying about how Sunday school answers and mother words do not always fit. It's not enough for mother to say, "Oh, you look terrific today," or "I was proud of you for doing that," or whatever. I mean, that's my job. I'm supposed to say those things, and that's not it. If he thinks his friends are looking down on him or not accepting him, that's the real thing for him. And that is true for us in various stages of our lives. It's when our friends accept us. We know they don't have to, but they do anyway. That's one of the things that gives us the feeling that we're doing the right thing, we're being a good kind of person, or whatever. So friends play a particular kind of role with us that sometimes family can handle, but not always. Friends choose to do what kin are obliged to do, is the way that Reuben puts it. So we measure ourselves in a different way when we're in the outside world than the way we do in our family. And also, friends accept us the way we are right now. In the family situation, it can be very comfortable to know that your parents, brothers, sisters, other relatives remember what you were like when you were growing up, or remember things that you did or said from the past. That helps give us continuity to our lives. But that can also be a problem sometimes. If, as a child, you were kind of known as the troublemaker, or the kid who was always falling all over herself, or whatever, you know, those labels sometimes can stick with us. And you can grow up and be an adult and still have people think of you as a kid. And so that the fact that we have a history with our families can be a positive and it can be a negative. But friends tend to see us the way we are right now. If we have a friendship for a long time, that sense of continuity can develop with them too. But it has a different character to it. And there are different kinds of friends. We have friendships that grow out of the situation. You happen to be neighbors with somebody else, and you develop a friendship because you spend time together, you see one another, and so on. And sometimes it doesn't really matter if you're not compatible totally. You know, you take the friendship for whatever it offers. If you move away from each other, it's kind of over because the situation is over. But there are other kind of friendships which depend very much on the personalities of the people involved. And those are the kind of friendships that tend to last forever, no matter if your circumstances change. You still feel when you get together that you're picking up where you left off, because there's something in common that you have that has to do with your person, not your situation. Those tend to be the kind of people you keep in touch with at Christmas, you know. And you want to make sure that you keep up with each other, even if you haven't seen one another all that much. Okay, so that's some of the things about friendship in generally. Then as far as friendship in the sexes is concerned, the things that have been written about friendship historically have tended to be the way friendships developed among men, or what they meant among men. The fact that women had friendships throughout history is not recognized in the literature that comes through. It's really quite recently that people began to notice or comment about the fact that women have friendships too. Now, in our day and age, that seems, of course. But it wasn't always that way. One of the questions is, do women have more friends and do they have closer friends than men do? Is friendship different? Are the characteristics of friendship different between the sexes? Is it possible for men to establish really close relationships with one another when you consider how competitive they are with one another in many parts of their lives? Can men really talk openly to one another, or is it true that the idea of men being less expressive about their feelings, does that affect them in close friendships? Girls grow up very often having to fight against feeling competitive with one another? Does that affect their friendships? And so on and so forth. So, let's get into this a little bit. Now, you're giggling over there.
As I said, I hope you don't expect me to answer all of these.
Of course not. Well, we can try it. It is an assumption. Well, where do you want to start?
I would tend to say, just observing my husband, he's so busy going to work and being a family person that his developing of friendships with other people, even in his job, are, you know, kind of low on the totem pole or whatever. And whereas I have more time, and I think that I'm not working outside of home, and so I think I have more time to develop friendships for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's especially true in volunteering at church and so on. A lot of the women that are there, they have a real good, within the circles, or who's always doing the dishes downstairs and that kind of, they have an awful lot of time to develop the friendships. Whereas I think today, this is just from my mm-hmm. point of view, I don't think men tend to develop them as maybe they did in the past. I don't know if that's fair or not. The other thing, there's another book called The Friendship Factor. Are you familiar with that mm-hmm. one by McGinnis? Mm-hmm. In our Bible study group, which is a family Bible study, took that on to study it with a guide, and that was a real interesting experience. And I had given that to a friend of mine who to read for a birthday present, and that she's always one where I had to call her all the time, and kind of plug into her life. And it seemed like now after she's read that book, she's calling me back. I mean, this is a friendship's been going on for 20 years, and now it's, I've kind of invested a lot of time in being a friend to her, and now it's coming back the other way, which is kind of mm-hmm. neat. So I highly recommend that book.
What was the name?
The Friendship Factor by McGinnis, and he has another one out called Bringing Out the Best in People, and they're both put out by Oxford.
Yeah. I would say, from what I've observed, friendships are definitely plus or minus, because they can more easily share their feelings, and they seem to need it more, maybe because of how we're raised, we want that to reflect or bounce things off of, and there's just a more of a reaching out process that goes on. And I've observed my husband and other men, there's a real fear of letting down all the barriers and really exposing their true self. They tend to do that more with their wives or their female friends, because it's a safe place. And so from what I've observed, there's a real tie among men, and it's very close, but they don't share the same way in all of the weaknesses and oh my goodnesses and all of that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
as much as what I do.
Okay. I think I will agree with her, because I am just now starting to maybe make some friends that I can talk to. One thing I have not done, and I force myself, I will not make friends at work. I'm in a position of management, and I cannot. You can't be friends with the people at work. And when you work, you spend 12 hours a day at work, there's this big lump of time that I just, I have to be objective when I'm at work, and again, if I make friends, and it isn't gonna really work out well. So I have this whole time spot that I can't even use for any friendships.
Why can't you be friends and still be in management?
I don't think you can. I think that in the position that I'm at, I have to tell the people what to do. If I give them their raises, I have probably fired 100 people easily and if I become real friends to them, then it really, it's hard enough mm-hmm. to hire, to fire, to get involved in their, and that's their personal life, that's their bread and butter. And if you really became a friend to them, I don't know, I have a hard enough time doing it as it is. And I've had people that have actually cried and begged and have gone to the owner. And said, I'm sorry, that's the way I see it. So I just have felt that I really can't become good friends or even harder friends to anybody.
Do you feel you can be more objective as long as you'll make friends?
Yeah. I've only a couple times worked for big corporations. Usually I work for smaller companies. And, they just, you either have to make a profit or you don't. That's why, throughout the week I hear all these things about, change your lifestyle or don't make so much money. But hey, I guess I'm just caught up in, you got an obligation when you go to work, and that is to do the best you can for your employees.
Now, what is your relationship with your employer?
Oh, sometimes very bad. Hey, him and I, we don't see eye to eye at all. We're not friends. No way.
You don't expect that.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't want to be his friend. He pays me the money, and I get my bonuses, or we fight, or I go someplace else. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
I would agree with you that it's a very difficult thing. I just observed a month ago a situation in my daughter and her husband. She had for a year taken a job teaching because someone was on leave. She was very good friends with the person she was replacing for the year. She really enjoyed working with him. She had just graduated, so he talked were the powers of me that she would be a good replacement for him. He also talked the daughter and her new husband into renting their house for that year that they were going to be on leave and he would be studying. And it seems that there was a lot mixed up as to what was friendship and what was the business arrangement. While they were, in fact, they arranged to be gone at Christmas time so that the family could come in and use the house. And then now this summer, a month before they were expecting to leave, they got into a little disagreement as to what should be expected. He was asking for $100 extra rent, and they were really paying a premium already because some of their friends were going to come in for summer school, and he thought if they were going to come in, then he should get more rent. And they said, we'll leave. And he said, no, you can't leave because I'll lose the house. So it is very difficult.
I think, within friendships, when you do that type of thing, you're better off to write a contract or get things in writing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was in writing, but there was a lot that wasn't in writing.
Well,
the business of where they could stay, and they felt very free to come in and stay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wonder if I have become kind of super sensitive because when my husband was killed, one lady said to me, well, you'll find out now that your married friends won't stay by you. And she didn't really explain it, but I thought I caught on. So I was very careful. And I don't think my married friends left me. I don't think they did. But I tend to go out and look for people and make them my friends. But now I am sensitive about making friends with married women. And I find that I ought to make friends. I'm afraid this woman was right that told me that. This was in 1968. It's quite a while ago. That, there's something about I'm single and they're married and this is her husband. Then I have to be super careful, sort of. And so then I make single friends. And it's like on weekends, I have single friends and I have married friends. And on the weekends, I don't call my married friends because their husbands are home.
And you don't want to interfere with them?
Yeah, right. Because they have plans, and maybe the husband doesn't want her to be running off with somebody else. He wants her with him, and I don't want to interfere at all. So I have become, I think, super sensitive in a different way. And I don't like having to be that way. Maybe I don't have to be that way. Maybe I don't have to feel that way. But I do. And nobody has made me feel that way. Except this one woman that said that.
I experience the same thing as a single person. All of my friends are married. And it's the same thing of where I think, oh, geez, maybe I better not call. You know, maybe I'm going to interrupt all their plans and that kind of thing. But it's the same way. No one has ever said anything. In fact, they've said, call us. You know, we'd love to see you. But there's still that. And I don't know if it's maybe that. Maybe I've read too many magazine articles or something.
But it's sometimes it's kind of a lonely feeling. And I feel, I have quite a few friends, but I feel that I need lots of friends then.
You know, I can't help but be listening. An interesting thing that I found too, and I married recently, but still with my married friends, which is a real interesting thing, is that their husbands are jealous. Three out of four close friends, their husbands just are very jealous of the relationship with their girlfriends, and they do not support it. And I think it's because, which I find just ludicrous, but I think it's because, I don't know, I guess they don't like the closeness that they know the women can really talk to one another. And the men either just, you know, can't quite do that, and they're jealous. I know one friend in particular, the husband is just, he wants in on all these conversations, and he wants to be part of the group, and he really can't be, because he is quite judgmental and very righteous, and all he does is come in and lecture. But yet he's very jealous of the bond. And I just had to share that because I found that to be a ruined same thing, and I really don't understand it. My husband's been very good. Never had that problem. It's just about the old one. It doesn't, and I don't understand that with husbands, why they don't want their wives to have friends and be supported in their lives and have things that support them as people. But they're not giving them that room and space.
One of the things that I have read about this, which may not be true to everyone, but it's something we're thinking about, is that for a number of men, at least, their marriage relationship is the only part of their lives that they can really put their emotional selves into. And it's almost as though if their wives have some other emotional outlets, it's like the wife isn't treating the marriage in the same way as the husband is. You know, for him, that's the whole thing, for his emotions. But for her, it's not the whole thing. It's like, how come I can get all of my emotional satisfaction out of her, but she can't get all of hers out of me? No? Does that make sense
to
you?
Yeah, but it's just, I think, I do, but I think it's impossible at the same time. I mean, my husband, because men are not typically taught to relate and express the same way, I cannot get what I need from him.
Mm-hmm.
And if I expected that of him, I would be unhappy and
sure.
Digging at him. You know, why aren't you this way? So I see it, but I don't think it's possible, really. I mean, it just doesn't seem feasible in the most supportive way. I mean,
that's right. From a woman's point of view, very often the marriage relationship isn't enough. It doesn't cover enough of the parts of ourselves that we have developed in our relationships with women as we're growing up. And as we talked the other day about how for very many girls, they start out from young age in talking to each other and examining the different parts of the relationships that they see around them and so on. And we just get used to doing that. It's a part of what makes life satisfying for females. For males, that tends not to be the pattern, and so they don't understand why it's important for women to have outside emotional contacts. And it's hard for women to understand why the men don't understand, you know.
Their problem, and I'm always encouraging Paul to call up
you know, a friend of his and say, oh, go work on the canoe, or I've had a little success, I think, in this same girl, Sandy, who's my good friend. Her husband is going through a really difficult time, it feels. He doesn't have any friends either. And I really wish for men that they could experience some of the friendships like I have, and for Paul, my husband, to maybe he and Peter will get together on the canoe, and then somehow that friendship will, you know, be something like we've had. Because I think that's a whole void in their life that he realizes that he has, but doesn't really know what to do about it. And I'm always wanting to do something, you know. So maybe that's one way it can help.
On the jealousy thing, it might be, and I think that I was guilty of that. I wasn't jealous of Barb's friends, but of the time that she took away from me, because I didn't have very much time with her. And it wasn't that I wanted her to have friends, but when I was home, I wanted her to spend time with me. And so it might be that also, but I don't know that I could say that. I know sometimes I caught myself sitting with her and her girlfriends, and I'm like, gee, what am I sitting here for? Well, I'm sitting here because I kind of have this time with her, and I don't have anything else to do right now.
Well, you know, I think that's fine. I feel we're really blessed in our marriage relationship because our friends, and we're in that stage of life right now, I suppose, that our friends are other married couples. And like Laurel now is my special friend, and her husband is my husband's special friend. But I also feel a real friend in her husband, and I think she doesn't buy. Now I have another really special friend, Pat, whose husband is a very special friend of my husband, but I don't feel that special bond with Jim like I do with Dick. And so I think there's some relationships that are like this. But I also think I would feel kind of bad if Laurel came and Bob felt like he had to excuse himself. Yeah. Because we have this friendship, a bond that, well, and I think the whole thing boils down, our common bond is Christ. And that takes care of a lot of other things. Now, if you have friends who aren't Christian, still the common bond that we have is Christ. With Bob, if it's just Bob and I and another couple, the common bond is Christ between us that we want to relate to someone else. And the other thing I think about, when you have a friendship, I think that you have to be considerate of their time, and therefore I'm thinking of these single gals, that there you have enough friends that at certain times that you would honor that time that they would want to be together. But a lot of times they would want you to be there too.
Yeah.
And it's nice if you call back and forth. I always feel like in our situation, I'm kind of the motivator. I'm kind of the social director of our family and our friends. But sometimes it's really nice if they call and ask you, because then you feel like, well, they're enjoying doing this. And they kind of expect me to do this, and I like it as kind of a role. But I'm really flattered then when they call me. So sometimes, you know, it feels good to call your friends, because I think that's your role.
What's hard, though, is when you're the kind of person who, for instance, like myself, I like a small group of friends. I don't like a whole bunch of friends. I haven't been able to find them. For instance, people at work, they do things together off time, but the people that I work with, their whole idea of having fun is going to the bar and telling dirty jokes. I don't get to that, you know. And so it's real difficult when you have a small group of friends, but a small group of very, very good friends, but they're all married, and you're not. That's what's hard. Then you get into that loneliness. So I got a cat instead.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because that makes me think it isn't only my sensitivity, my super sensitivity, but it's a fact. So I have to, it's good that I watch that, and I have to keep watching it, but then I have to be careful on weekends when the husbands are home.
But
then
as
I have a completely different.
But as we're getting older, this is getting less and less and less.
Yeah, I would say
much less.
I would say with you, probably your friends are more all more newly married.
No. Well, they range in age from 30 to 40, and I'd say they've been married, most of them, 5 and under. So not newly married, but 5 to 7.
And some workaholic husbands. See, that's the thing that I don't understand.
Right.
They're working, but they don't want their wives out sharing time with friends. And I just have a lot of time with that. I don't really understand.
You mean they're not even home?
No. Accountants, partners in accounting firms, and they're not home. But they don't like...
They want their spouse
to be home when they get home, whatever it is. And they're afraid if they're out, then they won't be there. And they're not very secure in their own.
That's
a big
security.
I had a friend one time, and on Saturdays we used to get together, and her husband was never home on Saturday morning, and he just come and cussed me out and said I couldn't do that no more. And he wasn't there, but he didn't want to watch
you to come.
Yeah.
That just amazes me, because in my small group of friends, the husbands, I've never felt any kind of jealousy, and yet they're there whenever I've been there. Most of the time, anyway, unless they've been on some convention or something.
Well, they probably feel a friendship with you, too.
Well, that, yes, that
and
is
I
true.
Think that's really neat, not to just have just women friends or just men friends, but to be friends together.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that the best relationship is for your husband to be your best friend. And if you don't start with that, that is the basis why then you get all piled up in all these other things.
Mm-hmm. You have Christian friends, don't you?
Well,
probably more so.
Well,
than,
yes, I would
yeah,
say the one they're kind of they're not you know they don't go to church every Sunday and they're not quite as active as the other couple I'm thinking of, but they are Christians.
Yeah,
they call them Christians.
And that's to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Why you
I do notice with the men though that there are certain things that we just don't discuss, like sex. the one husband, Brian, said, "Well, Sid, you can discuss anything with Lori, but just don't discuss sex while I'm around." So,
well, at least he's open about it.
Ears will turn red, right?
I completely agree with Sybil, of course, because we're such, you know, we are such good friends, and Gina and Norman too. But so many of our friends, we have become friends and become intimate with each other because of probably Bible studies and small group fellowship like that. And I think that's when your friendships really are beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're accepting of each other. You don't have to agree. I don't agree with everything Sybil.
I noticed that.
But we, we accept each other for who we are, and we really, you know, can encourage each other. We've laughed together, we've cried together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also that you're not fearful of being yourself with your values. I find that at work, and I think that's the reason I haven't made friends at work, is because anytime I talk about my values, it's always made fun of. You know,
mm-hmm.
things like, oh, well, no wonder you're not married. You know, if you keep these values, you'll never get married. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a real difference, like you say, about the Christian relationship.
We find that of all the friends we've had in the past, we've moved about 8 or 10 times in our married life. Our friends always seem to come from our church. That's where our core of our good close friends are.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times some neighbors, but only a couple times. Mostly always the ones that we still send the postcards or the cards of Christmas, and the ones now are from church.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the most in common.
Mm-hmm.
See, I hardly have any friends people at church. They're all outside. Mm-hmm. Really underside. Mm-hmm. That's your work association. That's why it struck me that she's saying, no friends or those at work.
But it could depend on what we do and how we do it.
Be careful of my occupation.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, and the, what they call the scale also, a large work situation is different from a small one and so on. I'm the boss of two other people. They are my two closest friends right now. You know, we work together as a team in everything. And I don't like it when they introduce me to someone as, this is the boss. You know, I don't like that. I don't feel like there's that distinction between us, even though in our contracts there is. But that's much different from being in a large organization where the role that the manager plays is much more clear-cut, and the distance between the levels in the organization is more
pronounced. I find that the time factor enters into my friendships a lot, that I'll be good friends with someone as long as they aren't working, but when they start going to work, they have their work and then they have their families afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And while I still like them, we're still friends, we don't have that time together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one friend that I saw a lot of them. Of her as long as her husband was working, but now that he's retired, he wants her attention whenever he's around, and he doesn't want her to make plans and not be available when he wants her around, so I very seldom see her.
Mm-hmm.
I have all friends like that, but I'm going to women that I know. I have one in particular, but really close friend, and every time she get a new love, you never saw her.
But see, it tells you like the priority that women have on other women, and I think it's real important for that just to be a part of your life. And you know, you just don't neglect your friendships, whether they're male or female, when some other things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance. It's important.
The article on women's friendships in which I was interviewed, I made a statement in there about how I thought that friendships between women have changed somewhat over the years, at least in my experience, that when I was younger, it was just kind of taken for granted that if two girls were going to do something together and one of them got asked out by a guy, there was no question about it. She went with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that that has begun to shift somewhat, that women's friendships with one another today tend to be more total, maybe, than they used to be in the past. And it's more likely, at least for women who are not teenagers, to, if they already have some kind of arrangements with the woman, it's more easy for them today to say, well, no, I'm busy that day, but can we do it some other time? Well, that was what was in the newspaper. And my husband said, well, now, when I was in high school, I remember my best friend and I used to say to each other, if something else comes up, we'll cancel our plans. I said, the difference is, among the girls, you didn't ever talk about it. It was just expected. And among the guys, they had to make sure it was okay before they make those switches. It was much more important for a girl to be accessible to a guy than the other way around.
I can really identify with that. And then it's my home growing, you know, the situation was that way with, you know, during high school days, if you've got a date, that was first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my home was such that, you know, they worked hard and really didn't place emphasis on friendships, right? And it was a matter of time or energy or, you know, probably both. And money, too.
Economics.
But, yeah, economics. Or Norwegian.
Norwegian.
It wasn't until I really had children and I realized the importance of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's such a difference in the level of friendships, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few years ago, I said to my husband, I sure wish we had some friends we could do something with, because we're real family-oriented. We do a lot of stuff with our sisters and brothers, married sisters and brothers, and now we do things with our married children. And so we're kind of geared that way. But I sure wish, you know, we could do something. We don't have any friends. He said, we've got hundreds of friends. And I said, well, name one. Who could we do something with?
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you get right down to it, almost everybody could just really list their best or close friends on one hand, you know.
Right.
And you can kind of think, well, what they're doing or what, you know. And my husband just can't see that. He just thinks he's friends with everybody. He is, too.
He is.
Sure he is.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say, you know, friend, being a friend enough that you could just call up and say, let's do something, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, he just didn't see that. I think he just wanted to stay home. And we didn't do anything. I just couldn't think of anybody that I really thought we could call to do whatever I had in mind.
Well, a lot of people that we refer to as friends are really acquaintances.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think a friend is something very special.
It is.
You know, I think we use the term too loosely.
Yeah, Bob started naming our neighbors and everybody in church and the people we were in association with in business. And all. Well, those aren't really friends. There's no one then that we'd call up to do something, you know, but
some crazy thing.
Yeah. You want to say something.
I just want to say somebody said in a Bible or an adult forum at church one time, do you know how many actual friendships that one person can maintain at one time?
Two or three.
Well, it said up to 15, but I mean to working at quality. Friendships, yeah, quality, that, you know, so... Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea of how many friends do you really have.
And then it depends on each individual expectation and what do you do with your friends. Yeah. Do you eat together or do you eat out together? Do you go to movies? Do you, you know, go camping together? Do you go to Holden Village together? I mean, what do you do with your friends? What do you expect from your friends? You know? Mm-hmm. And if it's just merely a pie at church once a week, that's not real close friends. And yet that's sometimes what happens to our close friends because we're so involved in so many things. We might meet them at a Bible study or a circle or something, but we don't really interact a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we cherish those friendships. They're real strong.
I'm curious, too, how others see this. My very closest friends and I have always seen that the very, very closest friends you have, there always seems to be a history there. Thinking of myself, for example, probably my two closest friends. We go back 18 years. And there's that history there that, I don't know, there's something about that history that makes those relationships different from any other relationship, even from the two close friends that I meet in college. There's something different there because there was that history of growing up together.
So you really know each other.
Yeah. History has to start sometime, you know, and like before we knew Dick and Laurel, you know, when they came, there's this new family, it was exciting, you know. And so there we started our history. Mm-hmm. And it's gone quite a while now, but it had started.
And then our sons we each had a son that was the same age, and that was a bond. And Gina, Norman, and Dick and I each have a daughter who was the same age, and that was kind of a bond.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I would like you to comment on something. I'm sure you've read about this. There have been statements, I don't know, in the last year or so that I've been aware of that adult women and adult men should seek out a friend of the opposite sex or a more some sort of a close friendship that they don't think they can do.
My closest friend right now is a man. And at least I call him my closest friend, and yet one of the classes that I taught last year, we dealt with relationships between men and women. Friendship, love, sex, marriage. I mean, it was a 3-hour class and we handled the whole bit, you know. Next week I'm going to take all these parts in individual segments, but it was a lively discussion. Most of the people in the room were about 20 years old and there were a few who were older. And after that class, I happened to be talking to my, quote, friend. And there was another man there present too. And I told him a little bit about the class and what we had discussed and everything and how the females in the class thought that males didn't have friends and the males in the class weren't quite sure what female friendship was all about and all these kinds of things. And I said that I thought today, the kids today find it much easier to make friendships between the sexes than was true in earlier times. And my friend said, my quote friend said, I think it's impossible for a man and a woman to be just plain friends. I said, wait a minute, what about me? He said, well, so you come pretty close. But he said, sex is always there. It's always in the background and you can't ignore that. So
then I had another class in a couple of weeks, and I asked a panel of men, including him, to come and talk about relationships that men have with women. He said this again in the class, you know, it's impossible for a man and a woman to be really true friends, which created some more discussion. And I wonder what your point of view about this is.
I haven't heard anybody say what I've lived with. I've had five sisters, so they were my girlfriends. My friends through high school were boys, and they weren't the boys I dated.
Mm-hmm.
What about now? Mixed relationships with men and women. It's very easy for me to have a friendship relationship with a man.
How does your husband know?
Has no objections at all.
Does he have women friends that he can meet?
Yes, I think one of his closest friends is a woman.
It's hard to keep it right there, you know, right there, because things change, feelings change. They go this way and they go that way. And
mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep it on that level that you want it to be.
I would agree with that, because we're sexual creatures, right? Mm-hmm. You can't get around it. And
get
I know, for example, I stayed with a girlfriend of mine who I had become very close to her husband, and I stayed with him for a month when I first moved to Seattle. And by the end of the month, I couldn't wait to get out of there because I was starting to feel sexual feelings towards her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think it's like you're saying, you really have to watch that if you're going to have a friendship, a close friendship with a man.
Okay, so there's a wariness, perhaps, that could be built into the relationship.
If you have a solid relationship with your husband, though, then it's one element easier.
I think so, too.
I think it's easier.
Yeah.
But I do think it could be.
Yeah.
I think you have to be very sensitive to your spouse's reaction. Because I have asked my husband to cool it on a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, there's a position in our congregation. He said, would you be uncomfortable if I worked with this young woman? And I said, no. I said, I think of her like our daughter. I see so many similarities. I think she's very gifted. I think she would be very good at the job. I don't think I would have any problem if she were to have that position
mm-hmm.
in the congregation.
And this is what I feel, that maybe I'm almost paranoid about, because I'm so conscious of that. That some might feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll shy away from something that might be a friendship, now that I'm single.
Mm-hmm. Well, it isn't.
I'm afraid of that.
It is an element in our society that's really kind of unresolved, because we have sexual images coming at us all the time from all directions. Can't really ignore that aspect of it. And it's kind of assumed in the larger society, the non-Christian part, that anybody could make it with anybody, you know, anytime. That's one of the assumptions in our society. And those of us who don't live with that kind of a philosophy need at least to be aware that element is around us. And I suppose those who do have relationships with people who are not in the context of the church, or you can't automatically assume that your philosophy is the same. You do have to be kind of wary about that, or at least to set the ground rules. Whereas if your friendships are within your church circle, or those who you know accept the same sorts of understandings that you do, it's kind of unspoken, perhaps, that you don't need to really set those ground rules. I don't know.
Being a Christian is not going to be a magic wand either.
No, that's true. But my best friend is also a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that I'm not about to fool around, and I know he's not, you know. And so while there, I suppose if the situation were different, he's the kind of man I would have been attracted to if I'd met him when I was single. And perhaps it's the other way around, too. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the friendship has developed as it is because we're compatible in a lot of ways. So some of those feelings might be there, but we're not going to do anything about those. Perhaps I'm quick.
It's a smart question, I guess. You're saying that just because you two are Christians, is that why?
I think you have to look at, why am I a friend to this man? You know, what is the basis of my friendship? Did I become a friend with this man when my marriage was solid? Or is my marriage not solid, and that's why I think it's nice to have a man friend? I think you have to look at your motives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you also have to think, is this my only good friend?
That would make the different situation.
You know, in all my spare time, am I focusing on this one good friend who happens to be a man? You know, I think you don't allow yourself to ask yourself.
And how much time do you have to spend on that friend? Do you spend time alone?
And what do I do with my time with this friend?
If I have fun, does she have a male friend?
Well, here again, I think
am I going dancing with this male friend, or am I just having some good solid conversations? What are you doing? What is your activity?
I think here again you have to realize that your husband is your best friend.